Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yo, Howard number two. What's happening? Tiki and Tierney company from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage on this Monday around the country. Boys, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 206, radio.com, on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. Jets and the Pats tonight. Jets big dogs. Pats very banged up. We'll hit that later. Doing a whole lot of juggling now as well. We were talking about this during the break. Two stories we hit last week, at least briefly, Jaylen Brown, Buddy Hield, both turned down big money, and both were justified. They got a little more money today. They both
to be a basketball player.
Oh, man. Man, oh, man.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown turned down 4 years, 80-something million dollars. He ended up getting 4 years, $115 million dollars for a guy that averaged 14 points per game. Points per game is whatever. Yeah. Buddy Hield, who turned down 4 years, 90, got 4 years, 94.
Yeah, right. So,
I mean,
Vladdy didn't crack as much as Danny H did, I guess, is what we take away from that. By the way, the NBA season starts tomorrow.
It does.
Pelicans at the Raps, obviously, that was a network thing. Thought, you know, Zion Williamson would play. He's out. So no Zion, but still some interesting components there. I want to see what Lonzo has and Redick's on that team, in case you forgot. Lakers are at the Clippers, so it's a doubleheader on TNT. No Kyle Kuzma, no Paul George, but of course you want to see LeBron. You know, you want to see Kawhi, you want to see AD. Basketball this year. We're doing all sorts of juggling. The World Series tomorrow, Game 1, the Houston Astros. Congrats to them as they take out the Yankees. Altuve's two-run walk-off bomb against Chapman. Better team won that series. Have no problem saying it. Thought that all along. Astros are phenomenal. And now we get to see what the Nats have, who have been on ice for a little bit. And we also get a chance to see now just how serious Urban Meyer is about returning to coaching, which is not surprising. We've been saying since minute one, he's going to come back and coach. It was just a matter of where. The comments about the Cowboys, did that get away from him? Is that something that you could see legitimately happening if they move away from Jason?
I mean, honestly, I felt like the comments that Urban Meyer was making were mostly about someone else. He was making comments about Lincoln Riley. And what Lincoln Riley would, what it would take to get Lincoln Riley out of college football. Because Lincoln Riley, he's going to have the third in a row Heisman Trophy, especially with Tua banged up and going to miss.
We'll see a little more from Burrow. Burrow's
Joe Burrow may come steal it.
Still killing it.
I mean, Oklahoma is dominant. Jalen Hurts is amazing. But here's his quote. And again, he's talking about Lincoln Riley. When he says this, pure speculation because I know him, but I don't know him like that, right? That's New York. That's the Dallas Cowboys. That's the one. Great city. They got Dak. They got Zeke Elliott. Got a loaded team, and I can't speak for him, and I hate to speculate because I don't know him. It's really not fair, but that's the one job in professional football that you say, I got to go do that. Now, and you follow it up, obviously, because someone wanted to follow up. They ask, hey, Urban, if the Cowboys were interested in you, would you be interested? His response, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. That one, yes. Urban Meyer putting his name in the hat in case Jason Garrett does not retain his job with the Dallas Cowboys. For those who don't know the situation, Jason Garrett doesn't have a contract for next year. So a lot depends on what happens for the Cowboys this season. After last night, they feel they look a little bit better, like they're more back on track to the expectation that we had for them at the beginning of the season. But, you know, what does this mean? Who knows? I mean, this is, of course, if you are a football coach in college or the National Football League and you have a chance to take the Dallas Cowboys, of course you're going to say yes. I mean, you wouldn't say no, even though it's a little bit more challenging.
That's a unique head coaching job with Jerry there.
More challenging than just I have the greatest job in the world type thing.
Jerry's by the way, Jerry's calmed down a lot.
Oh, he has.
He's not nearly as reactive or petulant.
He's cooled down
quite a bit.
Hands in the cookie jar. Yeah. Like, I don't like that cookie. I'm put this one over here. You got to do this. And this.
Those are Steven's hands now.
Exactly. But they're not as crumbly, so to speak. But, yeah. the question I have, and I asked you this before when we first mentioned at the top of the show, BT, do you think you'd be good at it? A lot of college coaches haven't transitioned well into the National Football League. One, because of the work ethic. I think that's changed a lot from the Steve Spurrier, I want to play golf on Fridays, mentality when he left Florida and tried to be the head coach of the Washington Redskins. Cliff Kingsbury seems to be adjusting to the transition down in Arizona.
He so out-thoroughly coached Pat Shurmur yesterday. It was embarrassing.
Well, I mean, the Giants just had, they're not talented enough right now.
Yeah, you should never be down by that. I 100% agree. Disgraceful by the Giants
yesterday.
They're
just not talented enough right now.
And more talented than the Cardinals.
Not on defense, man.
In totality?
I'm talking about on defense. They are bad. The Giants are horrendous on defense.
What do I keep saying about Shurmur? Not the guy.
I don't believe that yet, but we'll get to it. But anyways, it's like making the transition to college, from college to the NFL, is so difficult because Urban Meyer can't go talk to whoever the cornerback is or the left tackle and be like, I'm taking your scholarship away. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you're here because of me. That doesn't work in the NFL. So if he could make that adjustment and be more personable, actually – more like he is on TV than how we perceived him on the sideline, I think he could coach in the National Football League. But again, this is all speculation. It's an interesting speculation.
He can coach anywhere. He can coach on any planet. He can coach in any system. He can coach in any era. I mean, listen, I think he is so good. And I think he is, he's so adaptive. You know, to go to Utah with no real discernible football pedigree and do what he did there and have your quarterback get drafted first overall, which is what happened with Alex Smith. And then, go to Florida with all those pressures and all those boosters and all the expectations. Boom. Do what he does there. And then to go to Columbus. So his ability to compartmentalize what matters and what doesn't is top-notch. I know the health is – and we've talked about this. I don't know that he can have another procedure to alleviate – I don't even know really medically what to call it, the pressure on his brain. Whatever it is, I want to stay in my lane. But you and I did discuss briefly that we don't know if he can actually have that procedure again just based on the ability to manipulate what's around the brain.
That's right.
You know what I mean? So,
and you think college is stressful. The NFL is 5 weeks longer and significantly more work. Significantly.
It's got to be. You don't just cruise onto campus, when you're 7-0 and your average margin of victory is 34 points.
I'm going to take a recruiting trip this weekend. I think I want to go down to wherever, North Texas, and interview that kid or sit in that kid's living room. That doesn't happen in the NFL.
No, and by the way, he doesn't make that trip until his assistants basically get, hey, here's the 25 kids we really want. And by the way, coach, here's the 7 or 8 we really need.
Yeah.
Now you get on the private plane from Ohio State, and now you go. So... listen, I don't think Lincoln Riley's going to leave anytime soon.
If I'm Lincoln Riley, why would you?
I wouldn't. What is he, 36? He's got life by the neck. He's in a great college town with all the money he needs, with access to everything. He's on top of the world. Why move unnecessarily?
Yeah, he's in a conference that he should be able to, as long as he keeps getting the quarterbacks, and he has one coming behind Jalen Hurts. Forget the kid's last name, Mordecai something or other.
Five-star kid, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
So as long as he keeps having these quarterbacks that are going to be elite and compete for the Heisman Trophy, why would you leave? Why would you leave Norman? I wouldn't.
The challenge. It would be to officially coronate
but
and punctuate.
Ultimately, don't you think? This is talking about Lincoln because Urban's already done this. Don't you think he would want to win a national championship? And he's going to continually
absolutely
be there.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's easy for him, but it's easier for him. It's a little bit more difficult because they have instituted a championship game in the Big 12, but they got to play Baylor. Baylor's still barely undefeated.
Their coach is doing a hell of a job. Coach Rhule. Matt Rhule is. He's going to be in the NFL.
Oh, he's going to be.
The Jets wanted him.
He's going to be coach of the year this year, maybe.
What are they, 8-0 now? 7-0?
7-0, I believe.
Baylor's 7-0?
Yeah. Baylor's 7-0, and they're playing good football. But, I mean, Oklahoma's going to smoke them. They're just better athletes. And Texas has fallen off a little bit. They almost lost to Kansas.
I saw that. They lost by 3. And they gave up like 40-something points to Kansas.
They did.
Hey, Les Miles is, I know they've only won a few games.
That's right.
But didn't they go, who are they going to beat? Temple? They went somewhere early and won on the road. No, I think they won at Boston College.
With BC.
They won at BC on ACC, Friday night.
It was either BC or NC State. I can't remember.
No, it was BC. They beat BC.
Yeah.
So
48-24. Yeah, good call.
Yeah, I check on them a little bit, and I know they lose most weeks, but they scored 40-something points this past week against Texas.
I know.
But
if I'm Lincoln Riley, I'm right. I agree with you. I think I'm staying at least a couple more years. Now, the argument would be, this air raid that we like to run, because that's the catch-all for these offenses that that Cliff Kingsbury runs and that Lincoln Riley runs, is maybe it's starting to work a little bit in the National Football League. I'm not as sold on that. And Sam keeps telling it to me. Cliff Kingsbury's had success. Cliff Kingsbury's having success because his running back, Carson Edwards, ran for – not Carson Edwards.
The kid from Fordham.
Yeah, Fordham. Ran for 150 yards and 3 touchdowns doing ridiculous things. It wasn't.
But his quarter, Kyler Murray's been good.
True, but he threw for 104 yards, Kyler Murray.
It was pouring rain.
That doesn't matter, but they didn't win because of the air raid offense. They won because the Giants' defense forgot how to tackle.
Not and special teams wasn't good.
They haven't tackled all season long, the New York Giants' defense. Yeah, Chase Edmonds. For 126 yards and 3 touchdowns. I mean, that's why they won.
Mm-hmm.
Kyler Murray, I think, is clutch, but we're not seeing Kyler Murray, you know, set the record books on fire. The offense. It's more the grit of this Arizona Cardinals team, which I'll commend him for.
Sure.
For sure, because I don't think we saw that in college from his team, to be honest with you.
He was sub 500.
You're right.
You know,
but I don't think it's indicative that this type of system yet can work in the National Football League. Should Lincoln Riley want to make the jump?
I agree with that assertion. It's too early. You know, here's the other thing you have to consider, too. Like, we look at and we just evaluate, like, the Cowboys, and that's a very easy thing to evaluate.
Yep.
Who wouldn't want to coach the Cowboys? But when you have the choice of the litter, right, you've got to go a layer beneath. And the real question we should be asking, whether it's Urban Meyer or Lincoln Riley, do they want to coach Dak Prescott? Because that's what really matters.
That's right.
Everything else is ancillary stuff.
That's right.
Can they win a Super Bowl? In their mind, can they devise the concepts or their concepts that are already devised and then obviously tweak them for Sundays from Saturday? Will they fit Dak Prescott's skill set? That's debatable.
Yeah.
Because nobody gets debated more than Dak Prescott.
That's a good point. I mean, we don't ever think about it that way when a coach is speculated to be getting a head job. Like, does this coach fit? If he's an offensive or defensive guy, it doesn't matter. Or whatever position coordinators he's bringing with him. Does this guy's system fit the guy that's there? And we don't ever think about it. Right? It doesn't come up. But in this case, if you're an offensive guru, or especially a quarterback guru like Lincoln Riley is, it better matter who the heck your quarterback is. And they're about to pay Dak, and so you're not stuck, but that's your guy.
Yep.
You better be buying into him.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, listen, the Bengals are horrendous, just to switch gears on that for a moment. Like, if I'm Zach Taylor and I sit down with management last year before I take that job, I want to know, are you guys married to this guy? Because I'm not going to win anything with him.
Yeah,
I'll ride it out and I'll take my lumps and I'll go 1-15 or 2-14 with Andy Dalton, provided once we go 1-15 or 2-14, you allow me to draft whom I want to draft, and Andy Dalton could get lost.
And that's likely what's going to happen.
Exactly.
This is the last year of his deal. Andy Dalton is not, I mean, whatever.
There's just certain people that I really don't enjoy watching play football. Andy Dalton's one of them. Joe Flacco's another one. There's just a few of these. Oh, my God.
It's weird. Like, they're antiquated. They're not old yet.
I mean, no,
Well, Flacco's a little bit older.
Flacco's 35, but Dalton's 31.
30, 31, 32. It's like his game is antiquated. It feels like this is a quarterback from the 80s.
But his talent is limited as well.
But still, it just doesn't, like, there's nothing there. It's like you don't see the Mahomes athleticism or the arm slots or, you know, certainly not what Lamar Jackson does, but there's, like, it just feels antiquated.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he's a statue, kind of like Joe Flacco is a statue. You know, you can disrupt him just by putting your hands up. You don't even got to sack him half the time. Just get your hands up, and you know the ball's going to get knocked down. So, if you're a coach and you're looking to come in the NFL now, you have to look at the quarterback from college. And if you're Urban Meyer, I wonder, all things being equal, say the money is similar or whatever, relatively similar, and you had a chance to be the head coach at USC or the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, which one would be more appealing?
Taking Cowboys every day of the week. I mean, I know the USC brand is incredible when it's right. Even when it's not, it's still incredibly potent. Cowboys.
I think I agree with you.
Cowboys.
But he's never done it. He's never done it. He's done.
But that's a separate question.
He's been successful. I know. I'm just saying. Okay. I'm just like, in my mind, if I'm Urban Meyer,
yep,
and I can be the head coach at USC,
yep,
or the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys with the current roster and makeup of the Dallas Cowboys, or the, you know, kind of blankish slate of what USC will be, which one would I want?
And he's I would want Dallas, but I understand why it's a fair question.
Yeah. He's probably at the point in his career and his life,
mm-hmm,
where he doesn't want to build. Like, I'm not building again. I want something that's ready made. Mm-hmm. Cowboys are ready made as long as you buy in Dak Prescott. Defensively, they're great. They got to pay some guys over there still, but defensively, they're fantastic. Offensively, their skill position guys are locked or will be locked up for the near future. So it's probably the Dallas Cowboys, if I had to pick, for Urban Meyer.
All right. Let's get into this coming up next year. Dive a little deeper into college football. Obviously, what a monstrous loss for Wisconsin. Changes everything. And monster props to Lovie Smith. Really happy for him. And I was really behind Wisconsin this year, too. So I was kind of conflicted. I'm like, I'd love to see Lovie get this kind of win that goes right to the top of the resume. But, man, I know this is one of these odd occurrences. Wisconsin, that is not Wisconsin.
No.
Wisconsin is so much better than that.
Trap game.
Trap game. Looking ahead to the Buckeyes, obviously. And they got burned for sure. So that is the one major occurrence over the weekend that's going to shake things up. The others, to his ankle. We've got a lot to hit. We'll do that coming up next. A little more college football. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All righty, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Here on this Monday, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. The Pats, who are not healthy at all, this is how good they are and have been. That's why you get the benefit of the doubt and the respect from Vegas. Mm-hmm. They opened up 10-point, and we'll get this more into this game a little later, but 10-point favorites, right, against a Jets team that's had their own issues with injuries. But, you know, coming off a nice win against the Cowboys Monday night, the Pats are on the road. They have no receivers except Edelman, who's going to try to play, yeah, and he's one shot away with that clavicle from going back out, his chest, I should say. And the Pats are still coming in, you know, depending upon where you shop, 10-point favorites.
Crazy.
I would be very surprised if they don't. I mean,
you mean if the Jets don't cover?
I would be. Yeah. I think the Jets are going to play a hell of a football game. I already picked yesterday on top, so I think the Jets beat them. I've said that. So, I was watching a lot of college football on Saturday, and I was locked into the Clemson Louisville game for a while. All right, Teak was up in Happy Valley, so he was on the call for Compass Media for Penn State Michigan, which was a great game, great finish. Michigan showed some real gumption coming back.
That's right.
Could have been 45-3. After the way it started, it wasn't. So they haven't quit on Harbaugh, which is nice. But I'm watching Trevor Lawrence, Teak, and I know that they eventually wound up scoring 40-something points, and they pulled away, and, yeah, they covered the number, which was 24 points, whatever, and they won 45-10. He continues to make a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, so I was listening to a lot of the analysis of Trevor Lawrence, and it makes so much sense.
Okay.
And some of this comes from Dabo Sweeney, his head coach. But because it's not a problem. It's just the issue. The issue with Trevor Lawrence right now is that he has too much confidence in himself.
Okay.
And he's trying to put it all on his back all the time.
Okay.
And then worse, too much confidence in his arm. So he's making throws that he shouldn't make.
Mm-hmm.
And even throws that are resulting in touchdowns, he shouldn't be making.
Okay.
It's just he's got like great wide receivers. Like the athleticism is unbelievable. At Clemson, across the board. So he throws these 50-50 balls that his wide receivers come down with, but he shouldn't have ever thrown the ball. Like, his read should have taken him elsewhere. He's also being buoyed by the fact that their defense is ridiculous. Clemson's defense is giving them, you know, short fields 60-70% of the time. So you got to go 40 yards to score a point, and usually that results in a touchdown. You're going to win against teams that you're supposed to beat, like Florida State or whoever they played, Louisville last week. You're going to win those games. Those are the last couple of games. So even though he hasn't looked great, they're getting by because their defense is still one of the best in college football. The challenge for Clemson is going to come when they have to place probably nobody in the ACC. Maybe Virginia will challenge them in the ACC championship coming out of the Coastal. Wahoo had a big win over Duke, by the way.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand how they lose to Miami, whatever. But when they get into the college football playoff, Are they going to be able to just flip a switch?
I don't think college kids could do that.
I don't think so.
I think
either.
Certain pro athletes,
like,
could.
I said, yeah, we can flip the switch. But how do you know? You've never turned it on. Mm-hmm. And I think that's not going to happen until they get to when it's too late.
But let me tell you, what about coaching? Because at that point, you'll have a month to prepare. Yeah, you'll have a couple of weeks to really prepare.
True, but I mean, I hate that month. Unless your team is like veteran and experienced and, you know, has been through it a few times, a few iterations. I worry about that month for some teams. It happened with Notre Dame. Like, remember Notre Dame when they
lost to Alabama? What Manti Te'o?
Yeah.
But they just were not nearly as competitive.
I understand
mean,
that.
Alabama would beat them by that score nine out of ten times.
But they want to roll, and then, like, they're happy to be there. Great to be
no,
there.
I don't think that's fair. I can't prove it.
BT, that game.
You can't say they were happy to be there. They
game,
just got rolled by a superior
team. They made mistake
team.
After mistake after mistake.
Or Alabama forced them into mistake after mistake. I mean, it wasn't even close. The disparity in talent, it was like two different worlds, it was, man.
They looked shell-shocked.
Manti Te'o wasn't even good in the NFL. He was their star player.
He played for
him. He was slow. He couldn't move.
But there's a ton of star players in college football who are amazing, who never even didn't even make teams in the National Football League. So, I mean, I can understand that. But I worry about inexperienced teams getting into the postseason. Not that Clemson is inexperienced. It's just,
this group is, though.
This group feels it, and they're playing that way. And so when it comes time to turn on the switch, I'm not sure they can do it.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's fair. Because I parachute into their game every week. Yeah. We have to. It's what we do for a living.
And by the way, it's hard to repeat as a national champion.
No doubt. No, I understand. They've been lackluster on offense. Mm-hmm. They're also held to an incredibly high standard. So while, as we get into this, you know, hey, they won 45-10, but the lead really probably should be a little bit more. Oh, yeah, they did win 45-10.
Yeah.
But because of what we expect them to be in Trevor Lawrence, the best quarterback prospect in 15 years, maybe a little bit less if you think Andrew Luck is that guy or was that guy, and he very well might have been, they're a little underwhelming each week. And they eventually get some separation because they have superior athletes for sure. But in the latest shakeup here for the poll, right? So Alabama, LSU remains 1-2. Mm-hmm. Ohio State jumps up a spot. Clemson drops down a spot, even in victory. So that's interesting there.
Yep.
The biggest riser, you had a couple of teams jump up two spots. Florida went up two. Auburn looked really good. Auburn went up two slots. Wisconsin with a thunderous thumping, and, you know, in terms of a drop, I should say, they dropped seven slots. What
they
do
deserve.
We make? I agree. Oh, they should have dropped more.
Yeah.
I thought, actually.
Yeah.
What do we make? What do we make of these two teams? Well, let me throw these two at you. What do we make now of Penn State? What do we truly make of them? You saw them with your own eyes. Are they Final Four viable?
Penn State has one of the toughest roads to make it to the college football playoff conversation. Even though they just beat Michigan at home, and it was impressive. They hung on. When they had to make a play, Sean Clifford, who was a first-year starter as a redshirt sophomore, got a zero blitz, dog pressure coming into his face. He saw K.J. Hamler going man-to-man on a corner that was 20 yards deep and threw a 53-yard touchdown. It was unbelievable poise in a moment when Michigan had stole the momentum. Their defense is phenomenal, one of the top in the country in yards per play and run against the run. I mean, they're giving up like less than 2 yards per carry. But here's who they have to play next. Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
This is all on the road. Minnesota, and then, no, Michigan State, then Minnesota. They get a bye week. Not really, but Indiana. I mean, Indiana.
Rutgers in there, too,
and
somewhere.
Rutgers is at the end. And then Ohio State. So the next 4 weeks.
I'm not worried about Michigan State. They're going to
The next four, but it's on the road.
I hear
Michigan
you.
State on the road.
Can't
Minnesota.
Score
Minnesota, who's undefeated on the road. You have a throw-in game there in the middle, and then Ohio State on the road.
No.
That's what they have to get through just to get to the Big Ten championship, where they'll likely play, you know, if they win through it, they'll likely play Wisconsin, who now is playing spoiler because they lost to Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jonathan Taylor, who's been one of the best running backs in football, and Jake Cohn, who's been certainly better than the previous quarterbacks, made mistakes. Turnovers in crunch time, and ultimately Lovie Smith, the bearded Lovie Smith, steals a win against
him a couple more years.
Of course it does. One of the top teams in the country. Penn State is for real, but they got a lot of work to do in order to get to the college football playoff.
Under that scenario, I would be very reluctant to reluctant to push them through because, well, listen, you got to give Illinois all the credit of the world. It's a great win, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin is one of the few teams defensively in the country that's in the neighborhood of Penn State.
Well, Michigan,
and they're better offensively.
Michigan was too. Let's not forget, Michigan is has a very good defense. We're hyper focused on Michigan's offense, and Michigan's going through some growing pains right now because Jim Harbaugh has this methodology of playing football. We're going to run the ball, hard nose. We're going to throw play action, make plays down the field that way. And their new offensive coordinator, Josh Gattis, who came from Penn State, is more of a, well, we want to spread this thing out. We want to get, you know, Shea Patterson and some of the zone read stuff. If he gets hurt, we get Dylan McCaffrey, who is Christian McCaffrey's brother, obviously, as a backup who came back from concussion. Like, we can do all these different things. So there's a little bit of, it feels like a little bit of a power struggle going on at Michigan. If you want to point to what's going wrong, it's that. It's like their offense doesn't have an identity at times, but their defense is phenomenal. And Penn State had its way with it in the first half. So I'm not worried. I'm not worried about Penn State offensively because they have some playmakers and the ability to score when they need to.
Okay.
I'm more worried about going on the road into some serious hostile environments. Exactly. I'm worried about their path, not their composition of their team or their coach. I think James Franklin's done a heck of a job.
Yeah.
They had a perfect opportunity for a letdown week last week after the. I forget the kid's name with the dreads.
I'm forgetting his name.
I mean, it was easy to have a letdown week. They didn't, and they found a way to beat a tough Iowa team on the road. So yeah, look, I like Penn State, but the path worries me a little bit.
Okay, all right. 1-855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney show coming up. Anybody know what a sack is anymore? The NFL doesn't know, so we'll try to decipher inbounds, out of bounds after Axe Update, which is right now. Here's Rich Ackerman. Inbounds, out of bounds coming up here. Tiki and Tierney Daily Staple. First up, though, time now for the Home Depot feature. Doing more, brought to you by the Home Depot. We visit homedepot.com for details on flooring, appliances, and bathroom home improvements. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Tiki did this game. How about Penn State quarterback Sean Clifford coming up big on Saturday in Happy Valley? 3 touchdowns, no turnovers. Nittany Lions take it 28-21 over at Michigan. Now, Penn State has moved up to number 6 in the country in the AP poll. So if they have playoff aspirations, Clifford and Penn State, and of course they do, they'll need a win over Michigan State. That is in East Lansing coming up next week. Pretty decent defensive team, but a team that really scuffles to put points up on the boards. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. All right, Tiki, before we get to inbounds, out of bounds, the poll question here. If you were forced to wage a significant amount of money on one team to win the Super Bowl, who would it be? We gave you 3 options, with the 4th option being other: Pats, Packers, Saints, or other. And Pats, 64%. And that is obviously leading the way. 18% for the Saints, 11% for the Packers, and 7% reflecting others. And listen, when I talk about any sort of gambling aspect, you know this about me, I always look at value.
Mm-hmm.
So I voted for the Patriots because I think there's less resistance there in terms of their path than in the NFC.
Yeah, I think you're right. And
I think the Packers are a better football team.
I think
team.
Vegas will start stop disrespecting the New Orleans Saints, because Teddy Bridgewater does nothing but win, and even without Alvin Kamara.
Win.
Exactly.
I got a question for you. We can maybe kick this into the third hour. If you want to really look at MVP, right, and you want to assign a literal meaning to it, how does Teddy Bridgewater not get a few votes for the MVP?
I'm telling you,
you think about what the award means.
He's making himself a lot of money.
Was on the Bears right now? That Bears team is pretty good.
That's right.
All right, Teak, let's get to inbounds, out of bounds. Here we go.
Anything can happen in sports, and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. Tiki and Tierney.
Here we go. As we discussed earlier, the Colts took control of the AFC South. They were in our 5-star rewind segment, this daily Monday staple here on the show. A solid win against the red-hot Texans, who were red-hot no more. However, the game could have looked a little different had it not been for a questionable call by the refs in the first half. Now, if you missed it, Texans had a 3rd and goal from the 4 when Deshaun Watson escaped the grasp of multiple defenders to throw a go-ahead touchdown to DeAndre Hopkins. But the refs blew it again, called a little in-the-grasp sack. and the Texans were forced to kick a field goal after the game. Watson explained what's up.
I mean, it would have made a big difference. You know, I went back and forth with the ref. He said that I was down. I mean, you watch the tape of all the plays that I stand and make plays, especially in the red zone. I mean, he said he was trying to protect my health, so it goes back and forth. But, hey, that's the call he made. We got to live with it.
He's such a good leader, too.
Yeah, he is.
Steady, good, solid, consistent leader.
That was one of the few times I've seen him get emotional, like a little bit out of control.
Yeah, well, he may have had a point as we get to the question. Inbounds, out of bounds. With today's athletic quarterbacks, the league should get rid of the in-the-grasp rule.
I'm going to say out of bounds, BT, because while it will not affect the in-the-grasp rule, if they got rid of it, would not affect the Lamar Jacksons of the world, or the DeAndre Hopkins of the world, or the Pat Mahomes of the world, the Tom Brady's, even though he's not going to be playing a lot longer, or the Daniel Joneses of the world, or your guy, Sam Darnold, they're going to be affected by this, and they're going to get teed off on. So I got to say out of bounds.
Let's say out of bounds as well here. It's still a safety. It's still a safety issue, even though. You know, aesthetically, it's quite, you're like, oh, come on, let the athlete be an athlete. I can see why there's legitimate complaints coming from Deshaun and the Texans fan base and everybody involved, you know, on that side of the equation. But listen, there's 37,000 things the NFL needs to fix before this.
I agree.
You could go a month without, you could go a month and you could have the best man cave in the world, not just the red zone, but 9 TVs to watch all the 1 o'clock games and then obviously 1 Eastern, all the late games, and not see an in-the-grasp call for a month.
You're right.
So you have to look at it this way, in a practical term. They are trying to avoid having a player who is borderline stopped in terms of his movement and then have one guy come in from 7 yards away and blast him into next week when he's vulnerable because two guys on the other team are holding him back.
Yep.
I get it. It's never going to be perfect, but fundamentally, I agree with the league because it's about safety. I get it.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, how about this? Over the weekend, the Astros finished off our Yankees in the ALCS for the second time in 3 years. I'm going to take on the Nats for the World Series crown. Game one is tomorrow. After the loss, the dejected Aaron Judge didn't mince words with his disappointment.
It's a failure. In spring training, we talked about winning the division and, you know, putting ourselves in a good spot in the postseason, you know, to win a World Series. And we came out short, you know, and so it's... No matter how many games we won the regular season or, you know, what else we did, you know, it's the season's a failure.
Okay, so nothing nebulous about that take. You know where he stands. The Yankees were one of two of the three World Series favorites entering the year, but were ravaged. Had a lot of injuries. We know that. They plowed through it. So you can really look at this a couple of different ways. In or out, which way do you look at it? This season was a failure for the Yankees.
I got to stay out of bounds to this, BT. We knew that they needed help. They never got it. This is just Cashman's ways of being fiscally responsible and not, you know, overspending at the trade deadline. But this year they could have and they probably should have. Now, that's not going to help them hit, which is really what plagued them. But at the end of the day, we wanted the Yankees to be in the World Series. But midway through the season, you're like, man, if this doesn't change, there's no way they're going to be in the World Series. Yet they still won 106 games or 5 games.
103 regular season.
So I'm going to say out of bounds.
I'm going to disagree, and I'm going to say inbounds here. Aaron Judge grew up in the shadows of Derek Jeter, and that was a line that Derek Jeter would reiterate every time the Yankees got bounced. Now, Jeter won a bunch. He won it in 96, 98, 99, 2000. Won it in 2009 as well with CC when they brought in A.J. Burnett and they brought in some Mark Teixeira, of course, spent, I think it was $250 million in free agency. And when you're a young kid and you get drafted by the Yankees, and as you watch during your formative baseball years, you hear Derek Jeter always say that. That's the company line. And that doesn't work for every company, but it does work for the company known as the New York Yankees. And here's why it's a failure. Their window, first of all, the finances, you know, whether it's Gleyber Torres, whether it's Severino, whether it's Sanchez, whether it's Urshela, whether it's Andujar when he comes back, a lot of guys aren't making money. Mm-hmm. Eventually, those guys are going to get paid. The Yankees had a window to go out and get some, but don't tell me about the bullpen. The Yankees lost this because they didn't have an ace to trot out there. Instead, they trot out a relief pitcher in Game 6, and he gets lit up in the first inning. Mm-hmm. So the failure's on Cashman. I get it. 103 wins is nice. They're the Yankees. They need to remember that and start acting that way again.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teak. How about this? The defending NBA champion Raptors looking to prove some doubters wrong this year. Not a lot of love for them. We get it. We understand why. Kawhi bounced. He's in L.A., obviously, over the weekend. The team gave their breakout star postseason hero, Pascal Siakam, who really exploded last year, a massive four-year, $130 million max contract. Wow. Now, he's only 25, so he's got some room to grow, as we know. And he was great last year, no question. But he's really just had one good NBA season after averaging 6 points, four rebounds, the first two. In or out, the Raptors should have waited to see how he performs this year before giving him the monster extension.
I'm going to say out of bounds of this, BT. And Samter is a little misleading with his statistics here. Let's not forget Pascal Siakam. In those first 2 years, was a two-way player. He spent a lot of it in the G League, and so they knew he was a development, and they waited till he was ready and developed, and then brought him full-time to the Toronto Raptors roster, and we saw him excel with the superstar around him. But more importantly, I think this is an opportunity for Toronto to say to free agents, and it's not going to be an easy sell, look, we'll pay our own, right? Come up here and be a star. We'll take care of you. It might be a fruitless endeavor, but with nobody else that you have to pay, you might as well pay this kid. And I think he's worth it.
I can honestly see it both ways. I do disagree in terms of, I do. Sincerely.
Me too.
I can answer it either way. You say out. I'm going to say in for this. Well, and just by the way, to back up what you said a little further, you know, if last year is his new norm, it makes sense to cash in. And you've got to trust the instincts of a great franchise. And not just because they want a championship. They've been a very good franchise for a long time, doing a little more with less, okay? So you got to trust their basketball acumen. If this was like, you know, if the Knicks did something like this, you could question it because the Knicks have been a doormat or other a few other teams as well. The only reason I say inbounds is because they're the Raptors, and I don't think they'll be able to draw big-time stars there. If they swing and miss on this, it only further complicates the hurdles that it could create. But fundamentally, he's a good player. He's a passionate player. He's your player. You know him better than anybody. I get it, but I slightly disagree, if I even really disagree, in bounds, Teak.
Are you in or are you out?
I love this
one. I could have went the other way as well.
All right. I like this one. I guarantee we're on the same page. No, maybe we're not. The Tigers now undefeated. Of course, Clemson, that would be. Not the Detroit Tigers. But they've dropped down to the polls now 2 weeks, second time in a month, despite earning a win. So twice they've won, twice they've dropped. Now the fourth-rated Tigers beat up Louisville. We touched on this before, 45-10 over the weekend on the scoreboard. And with a little fisticuffs, this was a little ugly. A freshman corner, Andrew Booth Jr., bounced for the game from throwing a punch in the third quarter. And Dabo said there'll be some consequences.
Disappointed in Booth. That is really disappointing. That's not who we are. And that's not who he is. The one thing I can say about Andrew Booth is he's one of the best young people from an unbelievable family. And if you'd have asked me, if I had to list, you know, 1 through 100 who most likely to do something like that, he'd have been at the bottom of the list. So just kind of really disappointed there. But, you know, there'll be some consequences involved with that.
All right. So then we got to know what the consequences were. Dabo told reporters he made Booth ride back home on the team manager's bus while the rest of the team flew their nice charter home. I think it's about 450 miles, somebody said. So I think it was like 6 hours and whatever. Yep. Long ride, in or out. Forcing Booth to ride home on the bus is a sufficient punishment for his actions.
Out of bounds, man. Out of bounds. You got to use him as an example. And because he's a good kid, as you said, Dabo Swinney, you know that he's going to get it and take it to heart. Look, they're next. Suspend them for a game. That's what I would have done. Suspend one game, and it can be the next game. Who is Boston College, and you're 34.5 point favorite in that game. So, look, I don't know what kind of kid he is, but I knew that, like, hanging out with my managers and the equipment people was some of the funnest stuff I ever did. That's when I was in college.
Because there's no authority around at that point. Dude, it's just the team manager.
I
do whatever you want. Nobody's looking over your neck.
That was a fun bus ride home. I
Until
guarantee
you have to contemplate for 500 miles what's my ultimate fate when I get back to campus. What is he going to do to me here? So, sure, he was a little worried. You know, I'm going to say inbounds. I love it. It's an old school disciplinary tactic, a tactic of discipline. You know what? You don't deserve to get on this posh airplane tonight. Ride with them, and we'll see you on campus. We'll see you in practice.
Don't have too much fun.
I love it. I actually think it's pretty cool. And if I'm him, I would prefer that than be suspended. I want to play football. Coming up, Drew Brees might be ready to play football. But should the Saints take the ball away from Teddy?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.